Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
What an honor to be here this morning. And I think the last time I was here, I was departing Wheat State and moving into the ministry of anti-human trafficking. So I've been doing it now for about 2 years. Super excited about all that God's been doing through Free International. And when you find out, you know, things like this morning, the impact that was made. Mike Bartels, one of the co-founders of Free International, and because of him speaking, you know, 13 years ago, Carla said yes and has stepped up, and now we're seeing differences made, you know, in Latin America. And so it's just exciting to see all that God is doing. I've been in Detroit for the last few days. We were looking for missing kids in Detroit. Showed up Tuesday and hit the ground running Wednesday, and so Thursday, Friday, we found 11 kids in Detroit. What a ministry, and Detroit used to be 1.8 million. They're down to a little over 600,000. So you go through the city, and every third house is just out of. They need demolished. And so we're going through these areas, and these are the areas where we're going through. We're handing out pamphlets. We're talking to people. We're talking to barbershops. We're talking to moms and dads. And it's just the sense of people don't understand. I didn't know this many kids were missing in our city. I didn't realize the problem that was going on. And so we continue to hear that. We continue to see that. But I got on the plane. I was in the airport actually working on my PowerPoint. So if something's misspelled, it's everything's been in a rush this week. And also just finishing up my message. Yesterday was my daughter's 15th birthday, so running back to get to her to have dinner with her and the family. So it's just been kind of a whirlwind of a week. And normally I would be coming in and talking to you about Free International, but this morning, because your pastor's on sabbatical, had a series set up, and he sent me these scriptures to preach this morning. I'm excited because normally I'm preaching Free International, and it's the same message, you know, over and over, because I go to a different church every Sunday. So to be able to just preach the word is always refreshing, always refreshing. And thanks for the intro, Levi. I remember asking you, you know, knowing, you know, when he came and became a youth pastor at Generations Church. You guys know what you have with Levi, don't you? Would you guys give him a round of applause? I tell you, what an amazing man. What an amazing man. And your pastor's one of my best friends. We do lunch often, but pray for them while they're on sabbatical. Do that. You know, it's a special thing for a church to be able to give a pastor sabbatical, and from an ex-pastor. Okay, I've been at a place, and it's easy for you to kind of go, okay, I know he deals with my problems, right? And he helps me out of his love and his grace, but now look across the room, right? This is what he loves to do. He carries your burdens, all of you. You know? And so from time to time, it's good that he gets to a place of rest, and God refills him. And so over this next month, is that how long it is, a month? Yeah, pray refreshing into his life. And like Levi said, don't call and ask for anything, but send him encouragement. Send him a thank you. Put a $1,000 check in it. You know what? Yeah, you with me? So that's supposed to be funny. You guys can laugh. All right, let's get to the word. God, thank you for your word today. God, change us. God, challenge us. We don't want to leave this place the same. We want to come to a place of being changed by your grace today, of being more effective in this darkness, in this world. God, that we can go out and we can become, like you said, a city on a hill, That's grace. It's shining a light into the darkness. So God, use this word today. Speak to us, change us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the series Unashamed, I was given the scripture Romans 5:20, and my iPad just shut down. That's exciting, isn't it? See what happens here. Yeah. All right, I'm back. Romans 5:20-21. Grace is greater. Grace is greater. From the NIV, we read, you'll see it on the screens behind me, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. This is how it reads. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. So the law came to say, this is sin, and this is how sinful you are. And I believe the intention was, okay, let's stop sinning. This is sin. This is what it looks like. Okay, now we need to slow it down. You know, we need to stop sinning. But what happened? People sin more. Men sin more, and Paul talked about it, didn't he? I mean, he looked at it. I didn't know that this was wrong. But when I found out it was wrong, what happened? Man, I wanted to do it more. You know? And so, again, men sin more, but what happened was amazing. God's grace became more abundant. It grew past it. Now, is sin still serious? So this is not a verse that negates the seriousness of sin at all, okay? So we can pull grace into the picture many times, and then all of a sudden we're like, okay, I'm good. I'm just going to keep sinning because I know grace is going to be there for me. And that's a wrong attitude. That's totally the wrong attitude to take about, again, what Christ did on the cross, the suffering that he endured. We can't take that grace for granted. Amen? And so this doesn't negate that. So sin is still serious. So let me, just three things real quick. God's wrath is still coming against sin. I want you to remember this. We need to know this. God's wrath is still coming against sin. Colossians 3, 5 through 6. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sins of disobedience. Okay, so again, you need to understand that even though we're talking about this amazing, abundant, wonderful grace of God, God's wrath is still going to deal with sin and sinners. It leads to eternal death. Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death, I'm telling you, sin will never be satisfied. Sin's goal in your life is that you die in it. We heard a lot about the effects of pornography and how it continues to grow. And I'm telling you, it starts for as young as, again, elementary school today. This is where it begins. This is where the pornography addiction begins in so many lives, because all they need is to see it one time, and then they have that feeling. And those endorphins dump in, and you get this feeling that, and I'll tell you, pornography, men get shamed so much for pornography, but I'm telling you, it's like any other drug. It's like any other sin that people are doing it. You're doing it to cover over a hurt. You're doing it to cover over pain in your life. And for a moment, you get that feeling that makes you feel good. And the rest of the time, we're feeling rotten. We're feeling so depressed. We're feeling so guilty. We're looking for that brief breath of air. And many times, and so wrong, it comes in the form of sin, alcohol, drug addiction, right? Violence. So many things that people are turning to instead of turning to what we should, Jesus Christ. He's our hope. He's what fills us. He needs to fill that hole in our heart. He needs to bring in that healing if we'll let him. Sin leads to eternal death. And probably the most dangerous is this next point. It's not just what you do, it's what you don't do. Matthew 25, 41. Then he will say to those on his left, I was going to point that way, my left, your right, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angel. These are people that are going to hell, aren't they? Isn't that what this says? For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not visit me. So it's not what you're doing. Sometimes it's what we're not doing. And they too reply, Lord, when do we see you? You're hungry or thirsty or stranger, naked, sick in prison, and did not minister to you. The king will answer, I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's serious, isn't it? I'm telling you, Christianity isn't about sitting in church. It's not. It's good. Good to come together with a family of believers and worship, lift each other up, discipleship, learn the word. And when we leave this place and we're not doing to the least of these, you missed it. You missed the point. You're world changers. You are. When you go out and you see someone that needs food, feed them. When you see someone that needs a drink, you give it to them. When you see those that are in need of clothing, we clothe them, right? Is that what it's saying? So yeah, it's not so much what maybe a sinful lifestyle, but it can be what we don't do. But there's good news this morning. In order for us to understand how great grace is, I want to take a look at how big sin is. So let's talk about immorality. This can be, now I'm going to take a slice of a pie out of this, okay? And out of that slice, I'm going to show you a really small slice, okay? So every second, 1 second, blip. There's 28,258 people watching porn. Every second. $3,075 is spent on porn every second. $3,000 every second. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they watch porn at least once a month. That's inside the church. Porn brings in more annually than NFL, NBA, MLB combined. It's a multi-billion dollar operation. And who's it hurting? Well, it's feeding an industry that leads to demand, and that demand turns into trafficking. And part of that pornography, we know the average age that kids go into pornography today. You ready for this? 12 years old. So that's a slice of this pie, right? That's a slice of this. So let's look at greed. So immorality, we talked about that was, let's look at greed. Another slice of pie, small slice. According to Forbes.com, U.S. casinos and mobile gaming apps rang up $54.93 billion in revenue in the first 11 months of 2022. Why? Because I want to get rich quick, right? I mean, that's what people are looking for. Let's find a way to get more for me. Let's find a way to make what I have look better, you know? And we're the richest nation on earth. I tell people, this is crazy all the time. We have this amazing thing that goes on in the United States. I don't know if you know it or not, but you can walk in a room in your house and you can turn a knob and water comes out. Yeah, wow, it's sick. It's crazy. Because most of the world doesn't have that. But what's our next big thing? What's that thing that drives us? I gotta have that. I gotta have that. I gotta have that. I gotta have that. That's greed, isn't it? And that can become an idol in our life. I mean, when I hear about Carlos setting up here and saying, you know what, this is my budget for what I need to do. What are you doing with that? Well, I'm going to a different country, right? And I'm working to eradicate human trafficking by hitting it at the demand side of it. Well, that's what we give to, isn't it? That makes sense. So we become a light in this world. So greed. Again, let's go on. Drug abuse. Again, another slice. Big pie, little slice, right? United Nations publication, 1998. It's way back, man. Estimates of $100 billion to $110 billion just spent on heroin. Billion. $110 billion, $130 billion spent on cocaine. $75 billion for cannabis, $60 billion for synthetic drugs. The probable global figure for the total illicit drug industry would be approximately $360 billion, given the conservative bias in some of the estimates for individual substances. Get this, the turnover of around $400 billion is considered realistic. Billions, all right? So I did some searching because I had to get this in my mind too. You can put... well, I'll get to that in just a second, but in seconds. A million seconds is, anybody want to guess? Anybody? The smart section over here? You guys are? Little Hunter? Oh, you guys are Googling. That's not smart. Well, it is kind of, isn't it? Yeah. It's 12 days. Million seconds is what? 12 days. A billion seconds. 31 years. A trillion seconds, 31,688 years. So I'm just for fun, I'm going to have a conservative number value. This is not scientific. You guys with me? I'm just playing with numbers today, okay? Let's put the number on monetary sin today at trillion. Is that conservative? Yeah? Is that okay? Are you guys following me? This is not actual. We're just playing with numbers. Let me show you what that looks like. So you can put a million in 100 bills in a grocery bag. That doesn't make sense, does it? But you can. So $1 million in $100 bills stacked together, you can fit that like in a grocery bag. That's what it looks like right there. 100 million, it's like a, you know, crate. 1 billion. $100 bills stacked together, that's what it looks like. That's a trillion. See the guy, same guy down in the corner? That's a trillion. Now this gives us a visualization again. How big is sin today? It's way bigger than that. It's huge. It's astronomical. I only talked about three things today. I didn't go into all the other sins that we could talk about combined. So why are you showing us this? Because grace is more. I mean, you get how big grace is? For us to begin to even think about grace and the abundance, the wonderful side of grace, you got to see how big sin was, right? And when you see how massive sin is today, and again, we're not even touching it, grace is bigger. Grace is more abundant for you today. How? This is amazing. One man's obedience. Isn't that what the Bible says? One man's obedience. John Piper in Desiring God said, "This is extreme grace. Christ's obedience, not ours, is the ground of our justification. God reckons us righteous and accepts us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness." It says in Titus 3:5, "He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us birth, new birth, and new life through the Holy Spirit. Nothing you have done." Isn't that awesome? Why do we keep acting like it is? Why do we keep acting like I need to do something to get this? You don't. It's nothing of what you've done. It's what He did on the cross. And all we have to do is accept that. And that's hard, isn't it? But because of deeds done by Christ in righteousness, Romans 5:8. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. So one guy brought it in. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. The whole point in bringing Adam into the picture here at the end of Romans 8, John Piper continues to say, or Romans 1 through 5, is to make radically gracious way of justification dangerously clear. We are condemned in Adam as a sin is credited to us, and we are justified in Christ as His righteousness is credited to us. That's it. It's because of what He did that we are made right before Him today. Great grace. Is everybody, you might know who Bob Goff is? Yeah. Bob Goff. Yeah. Bob Goff, he's written a couple. He's one of Mark Batterson's mentors. He's a lawyer in the District of Columbia. Wrote a book. You can go to that next slide. Everybody Always. You want to be challenged in your faith, read this book. He also has another book called Love Does. But in the book, Everybody Always, he talks about children in Uganda. And in Uganda, the witch doctors will take the kids, and they abuse them, they murder them, they mutilate them, because private parts of children are used in different witchcraft rituals. So they'll take parts of children, they'll put them in foundations of buildings so that the building will be lucky. And so Bob Goff comes in to this area, and again, he's a lawyer, and he's moving into this area in Uganda, working with the judges there, and says, "Hey, why don't we persecute one of these guys, right?" And everybody's afraid of the witch doctors over there. Nope, the police don't mess with them. The governments don't mess with them because they're afraid that they're going to curse them. But Bob Goff comes in and says, "Okay, listen, if we can find a case, someone willing to come against one of these guys, can we do it?" And so the head judge over there says, "Listen, if we find someone that will speak up against them, we'll do it." And so that's what happened. This little boy, they call him Charlie, was mutilated and left in the bush, of Uganda. And so he lived. He lived, and he was willing to speak out against this witch doctor. And so for the first time in history, they brought this witch doctor to trial, right? And it was amazing because they found him guilty. And so they were able to put this guy in jail for like the rest of his life. And this is the guy, you can see him on the screen, his name is Cobby. And he said, man, you want to talk about, he said, I've never met anyone so evil in my life. I've never seen something so evil in my life, right? And so they ended up getting this guy put in jail, okay? And so Charlie is still in Uganda, and a plastic surgeon heard about what was going on, called Bob and said, look, I think I can fix Charlie. And so Bob goes back over, gets parental rights, brings Charlie back to the United States, adopts him, and then the plastic surgeon ends up repairing Charlie to give him a new life, right? And so through all this process, God began speaking to Bob Goff about, guess who? Cobby. You got to go back to Cobby. You got to tell Cobby about Jesus. And you know what God, what Bob did, what a lot of us would do? No. Why would I want to do that? This guy mutilates kids. This guy's like evil upon evil upon evil. Why would you want to go back to him, right? Because grace is greater. Because grace is greater. And so guess what? He goes back, he talks to Cobby. He gets into this prison. No one's ever allowed in this prison. You got to get the book and read it. But he goes back, he gets into this prison, nobody's allowed in, and he's able to talk to Cobby about Jesus, and guess what happens? Cobby gets saved. And then they're asked to present Jesus to, like, this prisoner, and they're like, no, we can't do it. And he's like, what about Cobby? Can he do it? And he said, yeah, he's a prisoner. He can do what he wants in here. So Cobby ends up getting, he ends up speaking to, like, this is a notorious, like, incredibly harsh prison in Uganda. And he ends up standing before the multitudes of the prison to tell them about Jesus, and scores upon scores of people get saved in the prison. Why? Because grace is greater. Grace is greater. People tell me all the time, I don't think I could do what you do. So we rescue kids out of human trafficking. Again, in 2 years I've been doing it, we probably rescued close to a couple hundred kids. And people are like, I have people tell me all the time, I would probably do this to the people that hurt those kids. Are you with me? You probably thought it. I think you should do this to those people. How do you do it? How do you do what you do? It's grace, isn't it? I think when we become judge of what other sinners are doing many times, I think we have a really weird understanding of what actual grace is. When we start, again, judging people because of what we think, right? We miss what grace is. We're currently working with a female here in Wichita who is been caught in the life of trafficking. She's got out 3 or 4 times, and she'll get out and she'll say help. Beat her up with a bat one time, and so she'll come out and say help. And so we do what we can do to get her placed as quick as we can. The problem is that they're addicted to drugs, and she was addicted to fentanyl. So it takes about a day. And then, unfortunately, she runs back to that because of her addiction. And again, you can judge or whatever, but I know the problem of addiction. I know it's not something you just quit doing, but it's a fight that you need a community with you, right? And so she would be back, and then she came out again. And this started around Christmas time this year, and this is the third time. So the third time, I got a call, and bad news. This time, her pimp attacked her, and she found his gun, and she shot him. And so she's in prison today, and he's in the hospital. He's paralyzed from his waist down. And you know what I've heard people say, right? Got what he deserved, right? Yeah. Is that a misunderstanding of grace? Unfortunately, it is. But I'm with you, though. I'm here to say I'm struggling with you today. Because again, this is what I do day in and day out. This is my ministry is rescuing these girls, is finding them a place so that they can have a new life. And it's hard. It's hard to see the people that do what they do. Last week, I got to speak to a group of men. I was given the opportunity to speak to a group of men here in Wichita that criminally have been arrested for abuse. And he said, they said, Dayton, would you come and talk to these guys? They have this theory about prostitutes that they want to do that. Would you come and speak? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm in. These are guys I want to talk to. Why? Grace is greater. Grace is greater. They need Jesus. They need to hear about Jesus, right? Today we're working again to get her into a home for trafficking survivors. We've got a lot of people. She has no idea the community that's coming together to make sure she can have a life, you know? And you know what? She may get some help. She may bolt about a month into it. We know that's normal. It's easy to write that off too, isn't it? Have you ever written people off because you gave them a chance and they burned you? And you said, no more? I'm sorry. This could be heavy on you. And you're going to have to struggle through this week. Oh, but that's a misrepresentation of grace. Because grace says, man, you need my help. You know, I'm not going to enable people. Don't get me wrong. Okay, don't take this to that, you know, just because somebody keeps asking for money for drugs, I'm not going to keep giving somebody drug money, okay? But if somebody comes and says, you know, I'm still struggling, I'm going to do what I can to help them. Again. And again. And again. And again. And again. John 8:1, I've preached this a thousand times. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. Early next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered. He sat down to taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act. Oh yeah, you heard it right, of adultery. So Jesus was teaching. Through the back doors come religious leaders, woman wrapped in a blanket. Because they had just caught her in the act. This is PG-13 stuff, okay? They caught her in the act of adultery. She was having sex with another man. And they brought her and they set her before Jesus. Teacher, they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says, stone her. What do you say? And what does he do? He turns around, right? He starts writing in the dust. We know the story. He stands back up and he says, okay, here's the deal, guys. If you've never sinned, go ahead and throw the first rock. Goes back, starts writing in the dust. What happens? Everybody has to begin examining their heart, don't they? That's exactly what happened. They brought someone with sin and Jesus said, what about your sin, right? Because you're perfect. So go ahead and throw the first rock. I'm telling you, the church, we've become so good at rock throwing. Have we not? I mean, I could talk politically just for a second, and you guys would be like, oh, here's my rock right here. Don't even say his name. Right? Am I right? We can talk about things we get fierce about and we get passionate about. But let me tell you something. That passion, that fierceness needs to be heavily applied with grace. Grace. So that means that we have to change the way that we have to think a little bit. That means that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of our lives, because what we would normally say is, I would break that guy's legs for hurting a kid. That's not grace. Is it how we think? Yes, it is. It's how we feel. That guy, man, he needs Jesus. That lady, she needs Jesus. That's what happened that day. They said, Jesus, what are you going to do? And what they were really asking, they didn't realize it, is what is grace going to do today, right? Everybody had left. Man, I love this story. Woman, where are your accusers? I mean, surely one. No, not one. And the only guy that could have thrown that rock that day said, well, I'm not going to condemn you today either. And he said, go and leave your life of sin. Again, we understand the seriousness of sin, don't we? Leave it. Leave it behind. But today, grace is applied. You have a new life. You have a new start today. Isn't that cool? Will you bow your heads? I know you don't feel forgivable. I know it. I've heard it. I know the guilt is heavy because you go back to it. You try. I know you try. But you're like, man, I can't get out of its grip. You know, maybe you're here and you're like, man, it's hard to even sit in here today. I just don't feel worthy. Listen to me, friend. Grace is greater. Grace is greater. That's what you have to know today, is that the abundance of grace is available for you today to start brand new. And it may be what you're doing. It may be sins in your life. It may be an attitude that you've had. It may be this harshness of an attitude that you need to drop today, that something clicked, God spoke something and it clicked in your heart and your mind, and you said, I have to change the way that I think about that. Maybe it's something you're not doing and you felt conviction from the Holy Spirit that said, I can't let that moment pass again. God, would you allow your grace? God, would you pour your grace over me today? I'm going to pray in just a second. I want to read one more thing while your heads are bowed. I don't know where I saw this, but I saw it, and it's forever kind of branded my mind. The measure of Christianity is not how we love Christ. It's how we love Judas. Man, I pray that sticks with you. Jesus is easy to love. He forgave us. He died on a cross for us. He's easy to love. But that Judas guy, man, Jesus loved him too. Right? So, Father, I pray today as we sit in this place, we hear your word, we're challenged to become more like you. In Matthew 5:14, you are a city on a hill. You're meant to show people what grace is. God, I pray today, God, for those that are caught in sin, they don't feel like there's a way out. Today, they can know that there is through your amazing, wonderful, abundant grace. God, I pray for attitudes that we may have that would still be worldly. God, that we would adapt your abundant grace to just our hearts and our minds and our attitudes, the way we act, the way we react. God, I pray for a church that would get radically crazy about the lost, and that grace would explode from this place into this community, into the world around them. God, we thank you for all that you're going to do in our hearts and minds today. In
Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.